Welcome to Nerd Heaven. I'm Adam David Collings, the author of Jewel of the Stars, and I am a nerd. Today, we continue going through my list of the top 10 Star Trek episodes and movies that you should check out before Star Trek Picard releases. Last time, we covered the TNG episode, Family. Today, we're talking about the episode, I, Borg. The IMDb description for this episode is, the Enterprise finds a lone Borg drone, separated from the collective, and brings him aboard. The drone begins to reassert his individuality, and his presence causes differing levels of fear and sympathy from various crew members. And this episode first aired on the 11th of May, 1992. Let's do it. The Enterprise crew beam down to a planet in response to a distress call. They find a ship crashed on the surface. The look on their faces when they see the lone survivor is a Borg shows how differently they think of them compared to any other species. I like how Data immediately tells Picard there is no sign of any other Borg ships in the vicinity. He doesn't need to be asked. He just does the scan and reports his findings. Sometimes on these shows, people have to be specifically ordered to do things that they really should already be doing. The reactions of Crusher and Worf are polar opposite. Worf wants to kill the drone and try to remove any evidence that they were ever there. Crusher, being the doctor, wants to care for it, to help keep it alive. To her, it's a patient. It doesn't matter what else it is. You notice I'm using the pronoun it, and I think at this stage that is appropriate. This is an automaton, a drone, that was once a person, kind of like a zombie. Troy is immediately concerned for Picard. As we've said before, what the Borg did to him will be with him for the rest of his life. We learn quite a bit more about the Borg in this episode. The Borg don't ingest food. Their implants can replicate the necessary organic molecules to support their biological systems. But in order to do that, they require energy. When Picard sees the drone, his thoughts immediately turn to using it as a weapon. And they could upload something harmful into it that will spread through the collective when he rejoins them and infects them. When Picard describes it as a disease, all going well, a fatal one, just look at Crusher's face. She's horrified. And this leads to the primary conflict in this episode, which is an ethical one. That's one of the things Star Trek is really good at. They debate the exact nature of what they're considering. Crusher considers this to be an annihilation of an entire species. Picard agrees that this would normally be unconscionable, but this situation is different. The Borg are a pretty unique case. They're not just a species. In fact, the drones they see were once other species. The Borg are like a force of nature, and as Riker points out, they have no civilians. They are a single collective organism that has made it very clear it intends to assimilate humanity. Crusher sees this distinction as very convenient. And it is. Does that make it wrong or right? What do you think? Picard sees this whole thing as an act of self-preservation. The Borg are a threat that cannot be reasoned with. They are determined to destroy us, so any action taken to protect ourselves from that threat is justified. My inclination is to side with Crusher on this one, but I do acknowledge that this is a complex situation with no easy answers. What if they do nothing here, and then Earth is later assimilated? In a lot of ways, the conflict of what to do with the Borg is explored through the eyes of Guinan. She starts off basically on Worf's side. Her people were destroyed by the Borg, so her usual wise compassion is inhibited by the deep pain and loss she has experienced. She suggests a very cold, hard, pragmatic approach to Picard. Don't feel sorry for a drone because it looks human. Don't ever give it the opportunity to betray you. While Worf was not in favour of bringing the drone on board, he has no problem going about his duty now that they have. It seems pretty harsh that Crusher has to assist with this plan. She made it very clear just how opposed to this she is. In her view, this is an act of genocide. Was there no other doctor on board that could have helped Geordi? This is the first mention we have of Borg designations. Geordi gives the drone, third of five, a name, Hugh. We know that Jonathan Del Arco is returning in his role as Hugh in Star Trek Picard, which is why I'm covering this episode. Crusher makes the most of her orders to work with Geordi and Hugh. She tries to reason with him, explain that humanity don't want to be assimilated. When Geordi starts having second thoughts about using Hugh as a weapon against the Collective, he goes to 10 forward to talk to Guinan. This is a great scene, because it subverts the usual trope. Normally, characters come to Guinan and she gives them wise advice. But this time, she's getting short with him. The episode humanizes Guinan. Or maybe I should say it Elorianizes her. Because remember, she's not human. Things get a little terse between the characters, and finally it's Geordi giving the advice to Guinan. And she doesn't like what he has to say. But she's been issued a challenge. And so she accepts, and goes to see Hugh. We learn a few more details about Guinan's people. When the Borg came to assimilate their world, the survivors were scattered throughout the galaxy. I wonder where their home was. My guess is in, or at least near, the Delta Quadrant. We can assume, from Star Trek Generations, that this tragedy occurred near the end of the 23rd century. A ship of refugees made it almost all the way to Earth. I wonder if Guinan guided them there. We know she'd been on Earth in the 19th century, and we know she was on that ship. Anyway, it's fun to speculate. The amazing thing is that Guinan unknowingly convinces Hugh that resistance is not futile. He then shocks her by recognizing loneliness in her and explaining that he too feels that way. He also begins to understand the concept of friendship, and even claims Geordi as a friend. By this time, it is becoming clear that Hugh is beginning to regain his individuality. He has become his own person, a being with thoughts and feelings, not just an automaton or a mechanism. The idea of the virus they plan to implant in him is an interesting idea, but I always had a hard time buying it. I get the concept of an anomalous shape that can't exist in real space, an optical illusion. I'm sure you've seen those. I get the idea of planting it in his optical implant as if he has seen the object, which would be impossible. I get the idea of that shape being stored for further analysis by the Collective. But here is where it starts to lose me. The shape is designed to spawn multiple solutions, each coded to interact with each other. To put all of that into the image of a geometric shape, I don't know, seems a little bit far-fetched. For them to come up with this so quickly, even more so. Although I will admit that they have data on their side, which does help to explain the speed at which they could develop it. But I have a hard time believing this could really bring down the Borg. They have so much redundancy, they can adapt. But it is interesting, and honestly, it's better explained than a lot of the technobabble solutions that you sometimes saw in Star Trek, especially on Voyager. And in the end, how this thing works isn't the point. This is a story about ethics, and how we deal with these challenging issues. When Guinan comes to see Picard, she briefly talks about fencing, how she needs to strengthen her arm, and then she launches into the real reason for the visit. I'm not sure why she mentions the forearm thing. I guess it's supposed to be symbolic, but if it is, the meaning kind of goes over my head. Picard is pretty dismissive of Geordi's second thoughts. He's the same way with Guinan at first as well. But she's been clearly shaken by her experience talking with Hugh. She calls Picard out on the fact that he hasn't even spoken with Hugh. In a lot of ways, Picard has taken the coward's way out in all of this. He had Geordi and Data create the program that would destroy the Borg, not getting his hands dirty. Now, I understand he is the captain. It's not his job to do the engineering. But as Guinan says, if you're going to use this person to destroy his entire race, you should at least look him in the eye once before you do it. It's about taking responsibility. It's a lot easier to do what Picard is doing when it's all theoretical. As both Geordi and Guinan have learned, it's a lot harder when you really get to know the individual you're using. To Picard's credit, he acknowledges his cowardice and does the right thing. He meets with Hugh. It's a little odd that Hugh recognises Picard as Locutus. First, he didn't have any implants. He doesn't look Borg. More importantly, if this was Locutus, Hugh should be able to link with him and become a mini-collective. But most of all, Hugh has the knowledge of the collective. He knows that Locutus was disconnected and became human again. Still, it's a useful device for the story, to allow Picard to really get a sense of what Hugh has become. So I'm going with it. I imagine Hugh was assimilated at a very early age. He clearly has no memory of his former life, just like Seven of Nine later. When Borg who were assimilated as children are disconnected, they tend to start blank and form their own new personality. When someone who was recently assimilated are disconnected, they return to the person that they were. Picard comes around. Realising that Hugh is no longer a drone, it would be wrong to use him as a weapon. But now this presents a whole lot of new dilemmas. What do they do with him now? They could return him, let him be re-assimilated. But isn't that also wrong, to help him regain his individuality and then let them take it all away again? In the end, they give him the choice. He can stay with them and continue to develop as an individual. But in order to protect his new friends, he makes the decision to return to the Borg. Picard's theory, even his hope, is that Hugh's newfound sense of individuality will be transferred to the other Borg, changing them forever. It's interesting that they don't consider any Prime Directive concerns. But it is the Borg. I'll discuss Picard's theory about changing the Borg when we get to Descent, because that's where we really find out what happens. iBorg is a very Star Trek episode. At its heart, Star Trek is about how even our enemies are not so different to us, if we can only learn to understand them. We saw this type of exploration with many races. Klingons, Romulans, Gorn. The Borg were a bit of a departure for Star Trek, because they were essentially a monster. A force of nature that you can't reason with. You can only survive them. That's why Picard was willing to consider extraordinary measures he'd never usually entertain. But this episode showed that even the Borg can be more than monsters. Even the Borg can have feelings, can be understood. Gene Roddenberry passed away before this episode was made, so he never had the chance to see it. But I suspect he would have liked it. For myself, I've always liked this episode. I enjoy Star Trek stories that delve into these moral quandaries and force our characters to do some soul-searching. This episode was important for Picard because it forced him to rethink his ideas of the Borg. They were especially monstrous to him because of what they put him through. But it's also important because it introduces us to Hugh, who will continue to be an important character, both in The Next Generation and in Star Trek Picard. I'm really curious to see what they're going to do with his character. I guess we'll find out soon. Don't forget, you can check out my space opera book, Jewel of the Stars, in a number of ways. The first book is available for free on Wattpad, and you can get the prequel story by signing up to my email list at adamdavidcollings.com/free. Until next time, live long and prosper. Make it so.